You're on Texas Standard Time.
5 seconds and 50,000 volts. That's enough of a jolt to hijack your nervous system and contract every muscle in your body. It's also become a tool of choice for police officers across the country. We're talking about conducted electrical weapons, better known as tasers. They've rapidly moved from obscure police technology and into the public consciousness. They've been hailed by law enforcement as a life-saving technology, but some critics say that could be far from the case. Eric Dexheimer is an investigative reporter for the Austin American-Statesman. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So the Austin American-Statesman took a look at the police use of tasers across Texas. Kind of sum it up for me. What did you find?
Sure. So this is part of a larger project where we're looking into custodial death. That is, people who are arrested and or taken into police custody and are under restraint. That is, handcuffed or in some way having their movement restrained. And we found, since 2005, about 290 of those deaths. And of that number, a subset of those people were tased during the process of being taken into custody. I think it was right around 90, 87 to 90.
And are we attributing their deaths directly to the tasers, or is it
no,
hard to
so
tell?
What we found is that in, I think it was 8 or 9 cases, medical examiners, those people who determine how a person dies, said mm-hmm. that a taser was directly responsible for someone's death, which is very uncommon. Most right. medical examiners are reluctant to do that. We also found a few other cases, I think 3 other cases, where someone had, after being tased, fallen down, hit his or her head, I think they were almost all men, and sustained fatal injuries in that way. And we actually found one case in which a guy caught fire.
Wow. I mean, you said they are unusual, and of the, you know, hundreds, it was, you said 9 or 10, but what accounts for these incidents? Was it just a overconfidence in the technology, or a lack of training, or medical issues with the person involved? Or?
I think that in the instances in which a medical examiner found that someone had been tased to death, or which a taser had contributed directly to the person's death, it was most likely called do what's called cardiac capture. That is essentially a heart attack, this electric shock causing someone to have a heart attack and die. In most of the instances, they also had some other things that contributed to their death, but the taser, the electric shock, was contributory, according to the medical examiner. And whether or not it was due to poor training, whether or not it was just bad luck, a lot of these confrontations are very chaotic. They're very confrontational. Mm-hmm. And so police officers often don't have time to, in the moment, you know, determine where exactly they're pointing their taser. The company itself has, since 2009, recommended that police not point it directly at someone's chest, specifically to avoid this cardiac capture, this kind of electrical stimulation caused heart attack. But that said, we found a number of instances where, in the heat of the moment, or whether they weren't trained, or for whatever reason, the police did not heed that advice and pointed it at someone's chest.
One incident that you highlight in particular about a man named Willie Ray Banks. Can you tell me what happened to him?
Sure. Willie lived up in Granite Shoals, which is in Burnett County, northwest of Austin here. And he lived in a trailer. He was part of a large family up there. Still a lot of relatives who live up there, a lot of folks related to the Banks family. Police were called to his house because his neighbors had said that Willie was acting a little bit odd, a little bit crazy. This was not their first interaction with him. He had been arrested before on drug charges. During those incidents, he was charged with resisting arrest or evading arrest. In this instance, the police arrived. And so after a few minutes, the officer from Granite Shoals said, you know, look, we've been here a lot of times. I don't have time for this. I'm going to give you a choice. You either can go to the hospital or you can go to jail. Willie didn't determine, or he didn't say which one of those he wanted. So the police officer said, all right, look, I'm going to count to 3. At 3, I get to decide. And so he counted to 3 and said, all right, you're going to jail. I'm arresting you for public intoxication. So when they tried to handcuff Willie after announcing that he was going to jail, he resisted and it escalated into this physical confrontation. Witnesses said that he was punching and kicking. Police video cameras didn't capture that. They were kind of pointed off to the side onto the road. And they tased him, I think, about 5 times. They got Willie on the ground. He weighed about 165 pounds. The officer weighed, I think, 260. The deputy was a woman, weighed about 135, and then the paramedic weighed about 230 pounds. So it was, you know, 650 pounds a person on top of Willie. And then they started using the taser in this other form, which is called drive stun. That's where it's put directly against a person's body. But in this instance, what really stood out in this case is that the guy held the drive stun against Willie for 3.5 minutes straight, which in his report, the Texas Ranger who was investigating this custodial death found extraordinary.
And we actually have a clip that we should warn audiences they may find disturbing. This is from the Austin American-Statesman website. You guys obtained this, a short clip of that incident between Willie Ray Banks and the police.
Willie, stop.
No, sir.
I
can't breathe.
Okay.
I can't breathe.
You can breathe.
You're talking, you're breathing, okay?
Willie, they're going to shock you again. They're going to shock you. Willie, calm down. Calm down. You can breathe, okay?
Saying there he can't breathe, and the officers responding that he can breathe and that they will shock him again. What happened to Willie Ray Banks?
So Willie ended up being taken into the police car, and he was loaded into the cruiser to be taken to the Burnett County Jail. Police then stood around talking for 6 minutes without checking on him. And then the deputy drove 17 minutes to the Burnett County Jail, passing the hospital up there. I think it's one of the Seton hospitals, without looking back once to check on him. And when they arrived at the jail, he was effectively dead. There was happened to be an EMS unit there. They brought him into the jail cell, and they started CPR on him immediately, and he never was revived. And one of the EMS folks there asked the deputy, so was he unresponsive in the car? And she said, I don't know.
Was there any backlash against the department for this?
No. In fact, that was another part of our story. So typically what happens is that after the medical examiner's report comes back, there is a determination that, you know, this is either an accident or the manner of death is undetermined, or it's a homicide that is caused by other people. And in a lot of counties, Travis County included, if it's a homicide, then the case immediately, or if not immediately, it automatically goes in front of a grand jury, which then will determine if the officers broke any laws in doing this. So this case was never presented to the grand jury. Well, I say never. When I requested public records related to the incident last fall, the new district attorney decided that he would present it to the grand jury after all.
Part of a series of reports by Austin American-Statesman investigative reporter Eric Dexheimer on police in custody deaths and the low level of repercussions for these incidents across the state. You can find the latest story in this weekend's paper, and you can read this story as well as others in the series at statesman.com. We'll also have a link up at texasstandard.org. Eric, thanks again.
Thanks for having me on.